Now, this is going to be the fourth file on this machine, okay? Well, that's right, because you were gone. Will it hold for? Let's see.
I'll keep it short.
Just use short words. Use easily compressed.
Is there an algorithm for that? Or certain words compress better?
No, it's just a case of lossy compression.
Yeah, lossy keyword.
Lossy what?
Lossy compression.
Lossy compression.
As versus lossless compression.
Where'd Ronnie go with one?
The hospital.
MRI of his hip or his back or whatever it is that's bothering.
Must really be bothering him to get up and go at 5 in the morning or whatever it was.
I have to go to the hospital today for a proctology exam.
Hmm.
I can say that because there's no woman here.
You don't want them to?
Well.
It's on the internet.
You mean you get one of those exams off the internet?
See if they can pull your head out.
Well. I need one of those exams sometime. Mm. A man my age. Turn to Psalm 41.
A psalm?
Yeah. This is a psalm about a sick person, so it's right in.
About what?
Sick person. So we got so many sick people. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, or this bed of sickness. Thou wilt make all of his bed in his sickness. Which means he'll very carefully take care of him while he's sick. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And now kind of get to the point of what this is all about. It's the fact of the sickness of his soul that this psalm is addressing in each one of us. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? That's what they're saying. And if he come to see me, he speaks vanity, and his heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. In verse 6, when it says these enemies come and visit him, his heart, meaning this visitor, gathers iniquity to itself, and that's often, again, which is this word that means self-effort, self-exertion. And so the nature of this thing that's being set up here, it probably is talking about, you know, when the psalmist was sick or something, but the psalm is speaking about people in weakness and in with some kind of knowledge of their own inabilities, and then the enemies that come and speak about that to you in your mind. You know, they're either trying to gather up self-exertion so you will do something, or they are trying to say, you know, this is so bad, you know, you're so screwed up that you're never going to get out of this thing. You know, you're going to, you know, so there's all this scenario around this guy who's saying this. His enemies are, you know, pulling all kinds of tricks on him. All who hate me whisper together against me, and against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, cleaveth closely to him, And now that he lies down, he shall rise up no more. You know, this is fatal. This is you're going to be, you know, you're always going to be screwed up. You're never going to amount to anything. You know, this thing is, you know, all your fears are going to come upon you. That's what your mind is saying. That's like, and it, even in verse 9 here, it says, "Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." This lifting up your heel, it just means like he's tripped me up. And this is used of a couple places of like Judas in the betrayal of Christ and different places. And this old familiar friend is us. You know, it's this guy that you know. I've known this guy from, you know, from way back, since before I could, you know, talk. This is my old familiar friend that's trying to screw me up. In my mind, talking to me. The person that I've always counted on to get me out of these kind of things. So that's kind of the low point of this psalm. Because it's like all my enemies are doing all this. Even this person that's my close personal best friend, in which spiritually we know is our own selves that, you know, that we've helped create all these years. It's even saying this. "But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up, that I may requite them," or pay them back, or show them this is wrong. "By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever." In other words, somehow he's ascertained an integrity that doesn't have anything to do with himself or what all of the enemies are saying in his mind about things. It's an integrity that comes from the indwelling Christ in us. And that's because that's the only integrity that we can have. And then we're set before his face forever, and that's all we see. You know, if we're set before the face of God, then we see through all of the stuff, and we're, you know, we see God's face in it, in other words. And that's how we overcome it. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." So that's what these psalms are so cool, because they start out, you know, with these scenarios of disaster. And at some point in the psalm, there's a realization of what is real, you know, and what's not. And it's only when you get to that realization that at the end of it that you can praise God. You know, and this is like a magnificent praise thing there at the end, you know, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. But you can't be in that place when you're still listening to the voices and being tempted by the self-exertion and being, you know, dragged down by the, you know, the doom and everything. If we can just see that place of integrity, it's like stuff that's not going to be moved. You know, it's like if a building has integrity, then it's like put together right, and it's not going to just fall down. Well, there's something about our existence which has integrity, and that's Christ himself. And it comes from a different, totally different place than anywhere our mind could ever have figured it out. It says it comes from the revelation of God to us. And you only see that when you can say to all your enemies, you know, all the things you're saying are true. You know, I'm sick, I'm weak, I'm screwed up. This thing is not going to ever, you know, get off the ground. But my integrity comes from someplace else, and I'm seeing the face of God in all of these things. And that's our challenge and what's set before us to do every day. And one thing about the psalm is it starts off, it talks about being poor and weak. And unless you know that you are, you can't even get started on this thing. You know, this is for somebody who's like, that's been sort of turned. It's like, you know you're poor and weak, but you got to do something about it. Or you know you're poor and weak, and you might as well kill yourself or something. You know, but the alternative is something totally that your mind would never figure out. That's that you are dead and Christ is alive in you and will raise you up. Has raised you up in the sense that his resurrection is all that's real to you. So that's what we have to hang on to today and every day. What do you say, guys? We say amen to that? Amen. It says amen and amen both, twice.
Let me think of how God is really got it set up real good from his point of view. We don't abide his point of view a lot of times. We think we could do it better or it should be a different way. And it's like each day a little bit of our own godhood gets chipped away to fall into to believing in him as opposed to believing in our own abilities or way to make hard to, because he doesn't show himself, except you're talking about seeing his face and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that unless your own godhood is destroyed.
And seeing the face of God is not just talking about what you're seeing, it's talking about what your position is, because you won't be seeing the face of God unless you know that you're in that, in his presence. You know, you're in a place. You're in the heavenlies, you know, like Paul said. And that makes every difference that it could possibly make. I mean, it's like, because what's going on in our lives is not about us. Because we're not here. You know, we're seated in heavenly places with him, and these things are going on just to show us that that's true. And to affirm that in all these different ways. And I was thinking about all that, with all this stuff that's been going on. You know, unless we can see through it and see the face of God, then we're going to be flopping around trying to gather together all of our iniquity in our, into our hearts, our self-exertion to try and do something. You know, we got to do something.
Correct the situation.
You know, all this stuff is very, very affecting to people. You know, and I was thinking the other day that, you know, there were points there when Joe Santos was in the hospital, you know, and they were giving her morphine and just all kind, you know, she was still knocked out from this stuff. And she just lied there, just, you know. She looked dead. This is how dead people look. You know, they just, and, you know, and it was very clear that she could very well have been dead. You know, so I was going, wow, you know. It's just bizarre. You know, she sort of tasted like she was dead, you know. I lean over and kiss her, she just, you know, it was like, she just smelled like morphine and, you know, all this weird hospital weird stuff, you know. It's like, what is, you know, who is this? You know, this is not Joyce Anna. She's done something. Where, you know, I want my wife back. And, you know, it's just, if there's anything, any reason for this to happen, is to show us just what this is talking about, that the enemies have not triumphed over us. Only because of this one integrity that there is in the universe, the only thing that has integrity, that can't be moved.
This reminds me, when you mention the construction of the Psalms, it reminds me of the truism that we use around here every once in a while. It's never circumstances that try men's souls, it's the judgments they make about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I mean, it's a truism because it's true. It's, I mean, none of these circumstances that we're going through right now
Yeah. They're not about us.
And we judge them to be so terrible. But they're not bad, so terrible.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, you kind of just come to take everything in stride after a while. So, well, had, what happened today? Well, sure, went to the hospital. Well, okay. Anything else? You know, it's like it, trouble is just trouble. It doesn't have the impact that it would like to have, to where it takes over our life, destroys us.
You know, and I was thinking that if there's anything good in being, you know, in getting older, it's because, you know, if you've got any kind of insight on anything, you know this more than you did, because you've seen more stuff happen. You've just seen more stuff. You know, it's like we've seen a lot of things happen. And so, you know, just in the natural, you know. It's, you know, old people are a natural picture of something because they've seen a lot of stuff go down, and you know. But one thing I was thinking of was, you know, at some point I was thinking of Miss, well, King George's
Miss Seidel,
yeah. You know, she was so old that all of her friends had died, and all of their, you know, half of their kids had died. You know, it's like she had lived so long that. You know, it'd be like me living until I was so old that none of you were alive. Like everything that was a big deal with me was just a memory. You know, and yet, you know, what does that mean? Well, you know, there's still some meaning in life, and it comes from this one thing, this integrity that's outside of time. It doesn't have anything to do with even, you know, the structure of us. You know, we're talking about, you know, a reality that surpasses, you know, even our, what's apparently God stuff going on. You know, that's going to pass away. All things are going to pass away. And he remains. So.
You remind me of Miss Hurst, that old lady I used to work for. She's up in her 90s. And she was complaining, like, I don't know why I got to live so long. All my friends are dead. I don't know anybody. I don't like anybody. Right. Couldn't die.
I
think
yeah. Well, I remember us when we were, what was it, about a year or so going out to see Miss Seidel and stuff.
More than that,
maybe. I get. But, you know, it was almost like got to the point where we had seen all these different things just by going to see Miss Seidel, you know, and it was like, as soon as we got through, everybody got through seeing all those things, then her purpose had been served. She went on, you know.
Yeah, she gave it was more like, to the people. That
yeah, I was like, you know,
it's
just.
Like, I just couldn't believe it. And just everybody's coming back and saying, wow, this is Seidel. Mm-hmm. She's living like a little child.
Yeah.
Living life in the moment.
And each one of our lives can be like that all the time.
And you know. Yeah. Back to this thing about judgments, no matter what it is, you can judge it good or you can judge it bad. The event doesn't matter. It's like being the last one to die, right? Because we're going, oh,
yeah.
Crystal died, isn't that terrible? And then the next one, oh, so-and-so died, isn't that terrible? Well, maybe it's not so terrible because when you're we're talking about bitching because you're the last one alive.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all.
No matter what
all,
it is, we can find a way to screw it up, we can find a way to turn it into a tragedy. Pissed off about it.
Yeah.
That's what our minds
first
do.
Yeah.
It's just
turn everything.
Well, amen and amen.
Amen.
When you got a double amen at the end of a psalm, you better pay attention to it.
Oh, such a
Well, now I have to get some oatmeal for Joy Santa.
Become a servant.
Mm-hmm. It takes us a long time to get going. We do a lot of stuff.
Since you timed yourself, today already. have to get dressed.
Yeah.
You can come over.
She's going to have to start, you know, the girls are going to go up there and have class today, and so she's going to have a lot.
I believe she's going to teach today.
Well, see, they, yeah, and also the little girls serve as little servants who can go around and get stuff for her and stuff. So there's a balance there. She's doing stuff, but she also has help in the mornings. And then her mom's going to come over, like in the afternoon, hang out.
Yeah, you can only sit around for just so long.
Yeah.
You can suffer shock when you're as busy as she's been, then to stop and play in the wall.
So. All the best on your proctology exam. Is this just a normally scheduled kind of thing that they say you need to have, or?
My doctor declined to recommend it.
Yeah.
Pray that he's got a man.
Yeah, get out of here.
Time to stop the machine.
Back to the angle.
Flossy compression.
We start with it.